It's time to start our service. Grab a favorite gospel songs. Turn to 195. Turn over to page 217.
The songs this morning. Appreciate the good playing once again. It's good to see everybody again this morning, and we're just thankful that we're able to come together today in this service to serve the Lord. I hope we look at it that way. We were blessed. That's the best way to say it. We were blessed to have a good revival meeting. We saw the church revived in a great way. I told this morning, I'm going to say it this way. I'll say it again. I want to thank everybody in the church as far as what you did in revival. I said a lot of times we praise the preachers. We say, preacher brought us a good revival. Brother King done a good job preaching. Don't get me wrong. But revival was brought through you. That's what I think. I saw this church move, and that was a joy to watch. And Brother Stewart mentioned how the ladies gathered around Grace over here. I saw everybody. There was not many people that attended this revival that didn't do a little bit of something. Now, some done more than others. Some more willing, I guess, is what I'll say. But I don't believe I saw anybody that didn't do something for the Lord during the week. And I'm thankful for that. And I appreciate you going through that. Now, the verse that I quoted this morning when Brother Stewart was saying that is in the Bible it tells us that when Zion, that's the church, travails, meaning bring forth labor like a woman in labor, when Zion travails, sons and daughters are brought forth. And that's what we got to see this week. We got to see sons and daughters brought forth into this body. We have had six new souls. That's a wonderful thing. We had seven to join the church, and that's a good thing. This church needs new bodies. It needs new people to serve in this church, and I pray that every one of them will end up being very good servants for the Lord is what I hope they will end up being. And they'll just be blessed greatly in the work of God is what we're prayerful for. We have several that are out today. I hate to say that. We've had several that took off on vacation after the revival was over. Let's pray for their safe return. Personally, I hope the Lord gives them a good spanking for not being here today. We know about that. We just pray that the Lord will bless them greatly in this day. And let's try our best to fill their shoes and do what the Lord would have us to do and just follow the Lord greatly. I have a thank you card up here before we go any further in the service. It says, to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, thank you for paying for us to attend Do-Re-Mi Gospel Music Academy. We had a great time, and we really appreciate it. Thank you. And that's from the Wilburn Girls is the way I'll read it instead of messing up names or something like that. Hard to mess it up, but still, knowing me, I'd mess up something. So, we appreciate the thankfulness of the kids that got to go to the school this time. And let's just be prayerful for each and every one that's here today in this service. We want to move right along with our service today, and we'll have our children's church. So we haven't got to do that in a while. So children, if y'all will, come right over here. Brother Sam is one of those that's traveling today, so you get me today. Come right on over here. Got a good bunch. Good to see all of y'all with us today. Okay. I'm going to try to make this quick, but as far as children's church, some of you know something this week that you didn't know last week, and that's about being saved, right? Yeah, come right on up here. And what I want to talk to you just a little bit is about what a couple of these that's in, among you, what they experienced, and that was being saved. Being saved is a privilege that God gives to men and women, boys and girls, to know Him better. And it is a great experience for any of us to go through and feel. You see, being saved, there is a peace that comes inside of you that allows you to know that you're saved. And it's a wonderful feeling. I want you to know that. That peace is something that is just, you know, everything is okay. You know that you have eternal life. You know that you have been blessed by God's hand in that moment in time. Many times the devil gets a hold of you and he'll say, oh, there was nothing to that. But the fact of the matter is when God saves a soul, he saves it forever. And these are the short things that I wanted you to learn today. Salvation is peace with God. It's not bright lights. It's not something big and that like a big clap of thunder or even a bolt of lightning. It's just peace with God. Many people experience different things. Some people just get the peace and they feel fresh. That was what I did. I felt fresh and new. I've heard people say that it felt like a bucket of water was poured over them, is what I've heard some people say. But the actual result is just they feel good in the Lord. So today, I wanted you to keep that in mind. That, like I said, there's a couple of you in this group today that knows what it feels like to be saved. And that's Zoe and Sarah. And what I would ask you to do is, when that you start talking to them, ask them how they felt. They may not have the best way of saying it, but they can tell you how they felt at that time. All right, I'll turn you loose. It wasn't because of you, though. Everybody go. We'll let you go back to mamas and daddies. Good to have you today. You too. Appreciate all the kids being here today. After our week, I thought that was appropriate, just to talk to them about being saved. I realize most of these little ones, they don't know yet what it feels like to be accountable for their sin, but I wanted them to know what it felt like to be saved, and I hope I got that across to them today. Good to see everybody today. Does everybody have a prayer request this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer? Remember Brent in your prayer. Somebody else.
Brother Rick, I would like to solicit my own church here to pray for Linda's family down in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Linda's mother passed away in her sleep the other night. She was 95. She was saved. So everything is okay as far as we know there.
Mm-hmm. Let's do remember Sister Linda and her family on this. Somebody else. I want to extend one other prayer request from me. I got to counting up after the revival from Sunday through Thursday night of our revival. I counted over the different ones that were here that were probably, we'll say, at least accountable for their sin. I'm not counting the little ones. I'm talking about ones that showed signs of being lost, that did not get saved. Would you believe there was 15 others here? You think about that. We've got a lot of work still left to do. And so I want us to keep that in mind here over the next few weeks especially. But while it's still fresh on us, let's keep it on our minds about these that needs to get saved. So We've still got a lot of work to do, so keep that in mind. Any other prayer requests? Remember Jonah? Somebody else? Yeah. Amen. Lord bless. Good. Lord bless. Bless your heart. Let's do continue to remember him in our prayers. Remember these that's lost still in Sister Helen's family also. Somebody else. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer and let's just thank the Lord for the good meeting for first thing. But that's past. So let's thank the Lord for what he's going to do for us. Anybody ready to pray? Brother Rodney, would you start our prayer, please? Turn over to 152 for our next song. I don't know if I've ever heard this song here, but we're going to try it. 258. Huh? Please. Thank you.
Anybody got anything on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything? Let's be about God's business still. I know everybody is somewhat tired in some ways. I know you're probably thinking, well, I did a lot during revival. We'll just sit back and relax. When you consider there was 15 more that could have gotten saved, that means there's no place to relax. It's time for us to continue the work of God. And that's what I want us to keep in mind. I do want to make mention, different ones have asked, the group was that joined the church were pretty much the same as far as when to have the baptizing, and that'll be on the first Sunday of August is when we'll have that baptizing. And we're going to do six at one time. Not all at one time, but six in a row. That will be my second largest number to baptize at one time. You still haven't passed that. So some of you that need to join the church and you want to be a part of a record breaking, you need to get busy. I think I baptized 9 on one occasion while I was up at Old Macedonian at Adolphus, Kentucky. We had a good revival and several joined the church. And there was several like there was here, or like there is here, that had been saved beforehand and hadn't followed the Lord in baptism. So I want you to think about that today. If you're if you've been saved and you've never joined the church and gotten baptized, you need to follow the Lord. You do need to follow the Lord in that baptism. So keep that in mind. I will see what the Lord has in store for us today as far as giving opportunity. I'm sure before the baptizing of that week, we will have a opportunity for people to join the church sometime in that time. So just pray that you'll do what the Lord would have you to do. Anybody got anything on your heart? We're going to take a reading lesson today from the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. 27th chapter of the book of Acts. You're going to think this one is just a little bit odd when we're telling you what we're going to preach on. This chapter is about when Paul was being transported from, basically we'll say, from Israel all the way up to Rome. He was in custody. He had really no reason to be on trial. He was not guilty even of what they had accused him of. But for the fact that he had appealed to Caesar, it didn't matter whether he was guilty or not by the lower courts. It was deemed he had to go to Caesar. Now, Paul had a reason. He wanted to testify to Caesar about God, about Jesus and his resurrection, and about the church. This was his transportation to Rome. And so they were on board ship. He had a soldier that was tied to him, or chained to him, I would say. And they were on their way to Rome. And they had let out, usually when you leave a place, you go from one island to the next, and you pick up people and leave cargo is what you do. But they was on the island of Crete, and Paul told them, he said, Lord's revealed to me, you don't need to leave this harbor. There's fixing to be a storm. They wouldn't listen to Paul, and they left that harbor. And just a short ways into their journey, a great storm hit them. Now, to give you an idea of this ship, because this kind of, in my feeble mind, I guess I tend to think of their ships not carrying that many people, not being that big, but this ship had 275 people on board. It's a good sized ship. So it had a lot of cargo, it had a lot of things that were being transported there. And so as the ship was being tossed by the waves, for the first day they just kind of held on. Second day they started getting rid of things. They got rid of a lot of the cargo. Third day, they got rid of some more stuff. Fourth day, and they're talking about being in a storm for 4 days and at sea. Now, I've never experienced that, but it was rough. And as they were in this storm, they even got down to the place where they got rid of the stuff that they needed to sail the ship. Now, that's a pretty bad storm. It says that there was a three-day period where they neither saw stars nor sun. You think about that. That's a pretty bad storm. We had some bad storms here last week around, but 3 days worth, they was in this storm. The Lord sent an angel to Paul, and he said, "Now, men, I want you to know, the angel of the Lord's told me none of us is going to die. The Lord's going to give us our lives. But we've got to stay with this ship just as long as we possibly can." Now, I want to start a reading lesson from the 27th verse. And he says, "And when the 14th night was come," in other words, they've been in this storm 14 nights, 2 weeks, in other words. He said, when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adirae, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Now, you're going to ask how they knew that. Listen. And it says, "And sounded and found it to be 20 fathoms. What they used in that day was a rope with a weight on it. And they would cast it out into the sea. And it had a measuring mark every so many fathoms. And they would put that down into the water. And when it hit bottom, they knew that it was how deep the water was. And the next time it says that they checked it, it was 15 fathoms. So they knew they was coming up to land. Well, if you've watched any of the movies or any documentary, around a lot of islands, there's rocky points. And there's things that you can hit in those places that will just destroy a ship. And so the sailors got afraid that they might be driven right into a rocky shore. So what it says, "And they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Verse 29. "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast forth four anchors and wished for the day." It was nighttime. They couldn't see where they was going. The storm was still so bad that it was more than they could really understand, but they did not want to hit a rocky point. They didn't want to be cast up into that place. Now, he said that they cast four anchors out. Now, I'm of the opinion, usually knowing just a little bit about shipping and such as that, usually they would set out one anchor, and then when it didn't hold, they'd set out a second one. And when that one didn't hold, they sent out a third one. And when that didn't hold, they set out a fourth one, hoping that daylight would come quickly and that they would not be cast up on a rocky shore. Now, our message today, and as I said, you're going to think this is a little bit crazy, but our message today is four anchors. Four anchors. These men were trying to make sure that their life was sustained. These men and women, I guess women on this ship, they were worried that they were going to have their ship broke apart right out from in under them. They thought that this was very possible. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, it tells just exactly what happened. And actually, daylight came, and with all the people on board, and Paul gives that number that I told you a while ago. And he said everybody was alive. And he said they saw a place where that a creek runs out into the ocean. And as they were trying to steer into that place, they did run aground. The front of the ship hung fast, but the back of it was actually still bouncing up and down in the waves and actually was broken apart. But every man, just as Paul had told them would be, was safe and alive. As I said today, we're going to try to preach to you today about four anchors in your life. You might say, well, what kind of an anchor are you talking about? The very first anchor that I want you to get in your mind, and these are all things that's going to anchor your life. They're going to hold you steady. They're going to keep you in life is what they're going to do. Now, I'm not talking about physical life, but in spiritual life today. I want you to know that you have some things that's going to be like an anchor for you to hold you steady in a particular place. I'm going for a particular verse here found in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, and he says in the 19th verse, which hope we have as an anchor, he said, of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. And that anchor that we're talking about there is especially the anchor of Jesus Christ himself. He is the one that will help us out during our times of trouble. These that have been saved this week found out just how much of an anchor he was and how much he is today. In that when they were sought the Lord, they found him to be sure in his words. He had promised them that he would save their soul if they would just believe in him, if they would trust him with everything that they had. He is a sure anchor. When you cast out an anchor and you're out in the lake or in a river or even in the ocean itself, it's got a particular purpose. It is to hold you fast in that place. It is to hold you in such a place that you would not drift away, drift into danger, and drift into trouble. What I see today in so many people's minds is that they think that they can handle things themselves. I remember years ago as a young kid thinking that I could take care of a matter by myself. We were on a houseboat, me and a couple of others, and the motor had went out and we had put out the anchor, but the winds blowed heavily up on that boat and it started blowing us toward the shore. I didn't know what was under the water. I didn't know if it was rocks. I didn't know if there was logs or something there that could pierce that hull. I just knew that if there was damage to that boat, I was responsible for that damage that was coming on. But I cast out an anchor and it did not hold. I cast out the other anchor that boat had and it didn't hold. The next thing it got to be, it was down to me and one other guy to hold that ship or that boat away from the shore. And we got out and just up to our necks and trying to hold that thing as the wind blowed it into the shore. Found out later there wasn't a thing there that would have harmed that thing, not would have harmed that boat. But in my mind, I could see it piercing the hull and it going down, and it costing me a lot of money is what I looked at. That was my mind at that time. But the idea that I want you to see is the anchors of this world will not hold. The anchors of this world, they may give you a little bit of comfort in your spiritual life, but the anchor that holds is that first anchor that you should always look to, and that's Jesus Christ himself. You look to him because he is the author of your salvation. He is the one that has given you life eternal. He is the one that died for you. And to put it in a mild way, the scripture says that he is God. And what Jesus told one man or one group of men was, with God, all things are possible. God can help when we think that we cannot be helped at all. Jesus can help us in that day. The anchor that I want you to consider this afternoon, especially is this, as it's found in the 6th chapter of John, in the 69th verse, or excuse me, 68th verse. Jesus had asked the question of them, would you go away? And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He does. Jesus has the words of eternal life. There'll be times that you'll say within yourself, I don't know about it. I don't know if I could tell somebody about the Lord saving. Just remember the words of Jesus Christ, that he is the one that does the saving. One of the best things that I can say about the services this week was that we had patience to wait upon the Lord, to see his work, to see what he would do. And we let the Lord do his work. And I'm thankful today for that being done. Now, the next part of this message today, the second anchor that you're going to find is that there is help in another thing. You might say, well, what is my second anchor? And I'm going to use the Bible, first of all, here today. You see, you can't really understand the Word of God except you be saved. So you've got to have Jesus first to be able to understand what's in this book. But what I want you to see in this lesson today is something that maybe a lot of people don't understand. And that's the fact that God has told us about his salvation in this Word of God. You can find that. You can find the words in the Word of God that will help in every situation throughout life. But there are those that they warned us about who would bring about false teaching. One of the scriptures that I want to give you an idea about is in the 4th chapter of 1 Timothy. And what he said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. What he's saying in that time, there's going to be times when people will give you false advice. They'll take the scripture and they'll turn it around. It's important for you that are saved to get into your minds the truth of God's word. What Paul says earlier on in this verse, in the first verse, he says, 4th chapter, for the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And what he means by that last phrase is, there are going to be those who will not care. They will not feel. They will not want you to know the truth because their feelings have been seared over. Now you might say, well, what is seared over? If you take a steak, we'll say, and you throw it in a hot skillet, it will seal it off, is what it does. It seals the juices in, is what they tell me on TV. It'll seal that off. You flip it back over, and it'll seal both sides off, and it'll just hold it in there. Now, if you do that to live flesh, do you realize that that is, it makes it numb? It makes it where it doesn't feel? It'll put a crust on them. So these people are uncaring in their word. That's why that it is important for you to make sure that you go for the truth of the Word of God. I want you to look with us, if you will, for a moment back at the book of Acts, if you would. I want you to think about this being your anchor, studying the Word of God, bringing to mind all of these, and you that are saved, you have these anchors at your disposal to use. But the fact of the matter is, in the 11th chapter, in the book of Acts, Peter was talking about his trip to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. He was the first one that the church actually went to and preached about salvation to. And Peter had gone there and he had witnessed the word of God in their hearts. He preached it to them. But what he ended up doing was when he came back to Jerusalem, they called him in basically on the carpet. And what they said was, "We want to know why you went to these Gentile people at this time. Why did you go to them?" And he said, he told them the circumstance, how he'd been up on top of the housetop, how that he had, the Lord had sent him the vision of the of all the animals. The Lord had told him to kill and eat, and he said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And the Lord told him, he said, "Don't call that which I have cleansed common or unclean." But this is the verse that I want you to get out of this. After that, he had started preaching to them, and he said, when Cornelius testified to him why that he called for Paul, he says, "In the word of the Lord," he says, "who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." You see, that word of God that is here is what's going to help you to make sure that your family is going to be saved. Some of you have no children yet. Some of you are too young to even think about it. Thank God for that. But the fact of the matter is, there may be a day when you have children, maybe it'll be like me, have grandchildren that you will be praying for. But in this word of God that you can learn, you can tell them about Jesus Christ. You see, that first anchor is the main anchor, Jesus himself. But your anchor, next anchor, is the word of God for you to hold on to. Now, you might have thought that this third anchor should have been second. It maybe should. It's hard to say whichever way it would be. But your third anchor is your salvation. It is. It's your salvation. When you get down and out, when you get in trouble, when you have nobody else to turn to and you feel like life is taking you down, then you go back in your mind. You may even get to the point where you start to wonder, am I really even saved? You may think, well, Lord, where are you at? Maybe you're not in that state of thinking whether or not you've been saved. You may be sure about that. But you may be to the place where you're just saying, Lord, where are you at? You can always run back in your mind and in your heart back to the time that the Lord saved your soul. In many ways, a lot of people would say this is the first anchor. It is in a lot of ways. It's just about as strong as some of the others. But the fact of the matter is, without Jesus saving your soul, without Jesus, let me back it up. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. There's none other name in heaven whereby you might be saved. Without the word of God to tell you about your salvation and you obtaining it, there is no salvation. But salvation is the personal part. It is the personal part that is the anchor in your life. When everything else starts dragging you out, when it starts heading you towards the rocks, when it starts getting you out into the world so much that you're fixing to have a crash in your life, that's when you remember what Jesus did for you. That's when you remember what Jesus did for you. Look, if you would, at Romans, the first chapter. Let me give you Paul's words at this time. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." You might say, well, it looks to me like you use that one with the about the word of God. It is. It all ties together. There was an anchor spot for those ropes. that went out into the for the anchors to go down, and that was that ship. You are the one that helps tie these things together, where that they hold you in place. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And what I'm going to just stop for a moment there, because there may be some misunderstanding. The Jews were Jesus' own people, and it was who was to get the church at first. And they were to seek Jesus first. Jesus said, or rather, John said, he came to his own, but his own refused him. They denied him. And actually, they were instrumental in Jesus being put to death. But the early church was made up of those Jewish men and women at that day. But he says, but unto the Greeks, and that is us. Us, we that are saved today, we are of the nature of the Greeks. Maybe not nationally Greeks, but meaning Gentiles, being outcast in a sense. Actually, when you consider your salvation, you was lost and away from God. You were not of God. You were a Gentile in that day. I don't care what your bloodline was. But now you've been made a part of the Jewish people, the seed of Abraham by the Spirit of God. But then listen to this 17th verse. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's where it's revealed, is in our faith, to the faith of Jesus Christ, the salvation that is there. And it is brought forth, the just shall live by faith, is what he says there at the end of that verse. Now, I've got just one other part of this, that fourth anchor that we're going to talk about just for a little bit here today. I'm going to 1 Timothy this time, and 1 Timothy and the fourth chapter. Nope, wrong place. Where am I going? We're going to a place here, 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 14. I'm in the wrong place. It's 2 Timothy, excuse me. 2 Timothy, I'll get it right here in a minute. Get my pages turned right. One of the things that is so great about your salvation is that it is forever, right? It tells us that throughout the Scriptures. That it is forever, that it's everlasting, that it's eternal. Meaning that, as I tried to say, I guess it was last Sunday, it is perpetual. It's ongoing. It's never ending in that way. Something that we get accused of preaching it all the time. However, I don't think we preach it near enough. I don't preach it near all the time. But the fourth anchor is the security of your salvation. The fourth anchor is the security of your salvation. The Bible tells us that what God does, he does it forever. The Bible tells us that he has given us a security in this salvation. It tells us here in the 2 Timothy, in the 12th verse, he said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now, I want you to just especially pay attention. He says, "I know, first of all, whom I believe, Jesus Christ." He said, "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that." Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John that we are held in his hands, his sheep. And because we are his sheep, we are held in his hands. And his words were this, "And no man, nothing is able to pluck them out of his hands, his sheep. There is security in being saved by the grace of God. There is a security in that today, because that security allows us that privilege of being a child of God and being held in his hands. And he says in the 13th verse, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was speaking to Timothy, but I want you to take the sound words that you're hearing of me today. I want you to hear how steadfast the Lord is. You remember that verse I read out of the 6th chapter of Hebrews earlier? And what it said earlier was, which hope we have as an anchor. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. It's an anchor. We have a hope in this word of God. It's our anchor to us. We have a hope in the salvation that we have, and it's an anchor unto us. And then the hope of the security that God gives us in that salvation, that we are saved by the grace of God, that we know that we are going to live with him forever and forever and forevermore. Listen again to Hebrews 6 and 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure. You remember me talking about that anchor that they throwed, that we throwed out on that houseboat? It never was sure. You know, when I thought of an anchor, I thought of a steel anchor that, you know, had the hooks on it. They're made that way for a purpose. You know what they had on that one? Two old concrete blocks. Yeah. When I looked at it, I thought the weight of it would, yeah, that would hold it, you would think. But it was nothing about it to grab hold. There was nothing about either one of them that could grab hold to the mud on the bottom and just hold it. But our anchor is sure. There's nothing mightier than our God. There's nothing greater than his son Jesus. There's nothing no purer than the word of God. There is nothing that is going to sustain us than the salvation which Jesus Christ gives us in that day of salvation. But the sureness of it all is the promise of God that is going to be there. That is his promise to us. And we know for a fact that God cannot lie, don't we? He never lies. He can't lie, the scripture says. In that he has promised, and y'all hear me quote this regularly, but what did he say? For God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the sureness, the steadfastness of God's promise, that in when we believe on him, he gives us an anchor. Not only one anchor, but two anchors. Not only two anchors, but three and a fourth. You know, I've often wondered about this story of Paul's here. And I've wondered that when they threw out those four anchors, if they actually held steadfast. Maybe the storm drove them so far out in back towards that land. But Paul had an anchor that he wasn't worried about. Remember what he told him? He said, the Lord has shown me that no man is going to die. The Lord showed me that. You know what? He had confidence in the Lord, didn't he? He was sure that what God said was going to happen. He was sure in that because it was so steadfast to him. Now, you might say, well, this message is not to those that are unsaved today. I guess a lot of ways it's not. But listen to me on this part. Do you want an anchor? Do you want God as your anchor? Do you want Him to hold you in place? Do you want Him to give you your salvation? Do you want Him to give you the ability to understand this Word of God? That's where it comes from. That it'll be your anchor. Do you want Him to give you the salvation that will carry you throughout your lifetime here upon this earth, and not only on this earth, but throughout all eternity? Do you want that security? It comes when you get saved. When you trust the Lord to the saving of your soul. Brother Brad, I'm about done. Do you want that today? We that are saved, we've already got those four anchors. There's been many a time that I've relied on those anchors in my lifetime. I've relied on them in times of, we'll just say, physical stress. I've relied on them on times when there were mental stresses upon my life. There's times when I've relied on it when it was spiritual stress. But those anchors helped fast. And it all started when I trusted the Lord. When I trusted the Lord. Because when I trusted in Him that first time and He saved my soul, that was a trust that lasted forever. Brother Brad, while we sing, all rise. If you're here today and you need to seek the Lord, I want you to take advantage of these altars. I want you to take advantage of talking to God for the very first time and seeking Him to get you an anchor that will lead you home. While we stand and sing.
358.